let's continue prayers for Joe and Neva Pyatt.
We want to pray for the family and friends of Robin Chase, who went to be with the Lord Christmas Day. Her celebration of life service is Thursday at 1 p.m. at the Link. We want to pray for Monica's friend Norma Smith. And I would like to ask for prayer for a custody situation that's been ongoing. The judge was supposed to make a decision December 8th, I believe, and they still haven't heard what the decision is.
We do need to pray for judges and things like that. That's not something that God goes, I'll just let it work out. He wants us praying about these things. So, Father, we come before you now, and we are thankful, Father, that in your word you gave us the ironclad promise that when we have a time in our lives that we need your help, your word declares that we can come boldly to the throne room of grace to find grace to help in our time of need. And we come now in the throne of grace in the name of Jesus, asking, Father, that your will be done in each and every one of these situations and the ones that weren't mentioned. We pray specifically for the family of Robin Chase, Lord God, and we know that it's hard, Lord God, for us to let go here on this earth, even though we know that heaven is real. But I pray, God, for the comfort of your Holy Spirit to comfort the children and the grandchildren and, Father, every one of the friends and family. And, Father, let this celebration of life service be truly anointed with your presence, Lord God. And may healing take place. And Father, if there are people there who do not yet have that intimate relationship and eternal life with you, I pray that it would be not only a time of comfort, emotional comfort, but a time of spiritual comfort, and that their eyes be opened and they would receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Father, we pray for our friend Norma. And Father, you know what she's dealing with, Lord God. We pray for her. We pray for her son, Chris. We hold them before you. Father, we're thankful that you who began a good work will bring it to completion. And we thank you, Father, that even though we may walk through some valleys on this earth, that we have your presence with us. And in your presence, there's joy and peace. We release that to Norma today. We take captive every thought. And we hold it captive and subject to the Lordship of Jesus and say, no tormenting, fearful worry thought would take charge in Norma's mind or heart. We release your peace and your grace. We pray, God, that whatever favor is needed will be manifest and received, and may your will be done in Jesus' name. And, Father, we pray about this custody situation. We lift it before you, Father, where the judge was supposed to make a decision, has not yet. Your word declares you hold the hearts of rulers and judges in your hand, and you can direct their course like the course of a river. We pray, God, in the name of Jesus, for you to direct this judge to make the decision that you desire. You know all things. And, Father, while we're praying for judges, we pray for the judges that are making rulings here in the United States of America that are affecting all of our lives. Father, we pray for the judges who are considering things about this election year, and Father, judges that are making decisions about some of the crises that we're facing in our nation. And we would simply ask, Father, that you bring this nation to truly be the nation under God that you desire it to be. Forgive us of our sins. Cleanse this nation of unrighteousness, Father. Put in place and empower those who will obey you. And Father, for anyone, a judge, a ruler, an authority, who is an authority that won't submit to you, Father, we pray that their influence would wane, that they would lose their position of power, and, Father, that someone who will obey you would take their place. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem, the peace of your people Israel. We speak blessing and favor over them. We curse their enemies. May their weapons not work. May their plans never succeed. And may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.
The Refuge Church is now located at New Liberty at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sarah, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey will bless your shoes and your socks off.
Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We will be right back.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. When you are confronted with difficult situations, it's not the reply of the tongue that matters. It's the response of the heart. That is where the real you lives. If you use words to deal with life, they will only be as valuable as the words. If you put your heart into it, the value is multiplied. Always be ready to provide an answer, and if necessary, use words.
We hope today's...
We are back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power. Our guest for today is Pastor Dwight Shepherd. His title for this morning is Unbroken Fellowship.
Unbroken. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Yeah. But if it is broke, hey, fix that thing so you can enjoy it. God wants us to enjoy his fellowship, because in his fellowship, the Bible tells us, we read it a while ago in 1 John, we walk in the light as he is in the light, and the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, continually cleanses us from all sin. Man, what a great way to live.
Before we get started back, can we continue prayers for Joe and Neva?
Yeah, we do. We need to do that, don't we? Father, we do lift Joe and Neva before you. And Father, we thank you. I thank you, Lord God. I've known Joe and Neva a long time, and I've watched both of them faith grow and their relationship with you continue to deepen. And God, I know that they're going through literally the trial of their lives, Lord God, with this situation that has been afflicting Joe's health and everything that goes on concerning it. But Father, the more, even in the midst of this trial, Lord, I see them yearning for you and searching for you more and more. And I know that pleases you, Father. And I know, Lord God, that you are willing and able to use your grace on their behalf. And I just pray for a release of that grace today. The grace not just to handle things that are difficult, but Lord, the kind of grace that touches and changes circumstances. For there was not a single time on this earth when Jesus walked here that someone came to you, Lord, needing your help, bringing a friend that needed physical healing, declaring, my servant at home needs your physical healing, or bringing a friend on a mat, or a leper kneeling before you. Not once did you ever say, it's not my will to heal. Not once. There's nowhere in your word that tells us that there's times you will heal and times you won't. Jesus, our only example, is you. And we believe you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we are thanking you for healing and for strength and for grace and wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So, we were reading in 1 John chapter 1, and then I'm going to kind of pick it up on verse 8 again. If we boast that we have no sin, we're fooling ourselves. We're strangers to the truth. But if we freely admit our sins when his light uncovers them, he will be faithful to forgive us every time. So, listen, I've said this to many people. Conviction from the Holy Spirit, him showing you, hey, whoo, that's not right. It's not a stamp of disapproval. It's not like he's got a big stamp that says loser. On stamp your forehead, you know. You don't do everything right. Loser. No, conviction, the Bible tells us that the Lord convicts or corrects those who are his children. If God never corrects you, there's something wrong. And I can tell you what it is. He's not correcting you because you won't let him correct you. You don't listen. You're not in fellowship with him, or you don't belong to him at all. Do you remember when you could sin and the only fear, the only thing about your sin that you had any deal with, you were hoping that the consequences wouldn't catch up with you? Like, you weren't afraid to steal something. You just didn't want to get caught by a person stealing it. You didn't even give a second thought to the fact that God is right there, and one of his commandments that were written in stone was, you shall not steal. But here you were stealing. You weren't born again. You didn't really care. It didn't make no difference to you as long as you could get away with it. That in itself is proof that, see, God's not trying to deal with you. You're lost, and he's not dealing with you about your stealing. What he's dealing with you about, if you're lost, is one thing only, and that is that you need to be found. And that's up to you, not him. He's made himself available. If you feel like you're separated from God, all you got to do is turn. Turn to him. I don't care where you're at. You'd be in the deepest, darkest sin pit the world's ever seen. But if you will cry out to him, he will meet you right where you are, accept you just as you are, and then begin to change you. And when you change, guess what else changes? Everything around you begins to change. But it starts with you. Amen. I'm preaching to me now. So if we freely admit our sins when he uncovers them, in other words, I take conviction not as a stamp of disapproval, but as a stamp of approval, a sign of, for me, sonship. God is my real father. If he wasn't, he wouldn't correct me about this. When he uncovers it, all I have to do is get in line with his uncovering. If he says that's wrong, all I have to do is agree with him. And instantly the power is made available to me to say no to that. You understand that? There is not a situation that a born-again Christian believer can face where you say, I just can't say no to this sin. That's not true. That is not true. Because his power lives in you. Greater is he who's in you than he that's in the world. And if God brings it, there are a lot of things that I would convict people about that apparently God hasn't convicted them about yet. There are probably things in my life someone else would be looking in and go, boy, if I was God, I would convict that preacher about this. But if I can assure you this, if he's convicted me about it, me and him have already talked about it. We've already dealt with it. Because my heart is pure before him today. I can tell you that. Now, will it stay that way forever? Probably not. There's probably going to be something come along or something that's there now that I can't see. I can't see it. Well, hey, listen, if you don't have any conviction about it, you don't have any... God's not dealing with you about it at all. How would you get free from it when he's not even dealing with you about it? But that's not what stumbles causes us stumbling and problems. What causes problems is when he uncovers it and he goes, look there, look at that. And you're like, I don't want to look at that. All we got to do is, listen, it's so simple. All we have to do is agree with him. Answer his call. When he points something out, we just pick up the phone and answer his call. Now, watch this. I'm getting a call right now. I ain't going to answer that. Now, you see how easy that? Do you do that? Do you ever do that? Don't be honest. Now, when I call, you know you do that. Monica, you know you. Who was that called me? Let me see. Oh, it was Monica Lovell. It was Monica Lovell. I usually answer Monica Lovell's call because I know that if Monica Lovell calls me, unless I was in somewhere that I just literally couldn't answer, I would answer her call, right? Because I know that she's not calling me to say, hey, you do something wrong. If she's not doing that. But if someone, what if you had a friend and anytime they ever called you, they're like, dude, listen, I got some stuff. Come on, we'll go party. Hey, dude, come on, let's do this, let's do that. It's real simple. You get a caller ID, you go, oh, that's the devil.
Yeah, nope.
I'm not answering that call. Like, hey, Jesus, you want to take that one? Yeah. You know, it really is as simple as answering that call. Watch how the Passion translators go on and talk about this. Let's see where I got this at. Let's go to Romans chapter 6. Romans 6. We're roaming around the Bible, finding all the good stuff. Romans chapter 6. Now, a minute ago, we're reading from John, and now we're going to be reading a letter from Paul to the church in Rome, to the church, not to the heathens, to the church. Here's what Paul wrote to Christians who happened to live in Rome. which is not exactly the most easy place in the world in that day, especially to live as a Christ follower. Here's what he wrote to the church. Sin, this is a Passion Translation, sin is a dethroned monarch. So you must no longer give it an opportunity to rule over your life. How about that? That's a pretty good translation, isn't it? Do not let sin reign over you. Right? Do not let, do not allow. He said sin is a dethroned monarch, so you must no longer give it opportunity to rule over your life, controlling how you live and compelling you to obey its desires and cravings. So then, verse 13, here's where I got that illustration. Refuse to answer its call. Refuse to answer its call to surrender your body as a tool for wickedness, but instead passionately answer God's call to keep yielding your body to Him. I know that your NIV, your King James, your New King James, your Amplified, it doesn't say that the same exact way. But when you read it in other translations, you can't say, well, this is disagreeing with it. It's just making it come to life. That's all it is doing. And it really just, I love the way that it sets it. The NIV said, do not let sin reign in your mortal body to obey its desires. Okay, I get that. Do not let sin reign. That's not R-A-I-N, that's R-E-I-G-N, like a king would reign over his kingdom. It means to rule. Don't let sin rule you. If sin is ruling your life, if there's something in your life that is ruling over you and it's not God and it's not godly, it's only there. Listen to me carefully. It's only there because you're allowing it to be there. You say, well, I wish I could quit this. I wish I could quit wishing and do it. Jesus said to the lame man, get up and walk. You know, there's power in the word that God releases. If he tells you and me, and he did, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Do I have the power to refuse sin the right to reign? Absolutely I do. But it's not automatic. If it was automatic, he wouldn't have to tell me, don't let this. Like Jesus telling the disciples, don't let fear, you know, over and over. So don't let it. I like the way verse 13 in the Passion Translation says, refuse to answer its call, talking about sin, but instead passionately answer God's call. It's a simple, honestly, living a right, intimate fellowship life with God is as simple as using a phone with caller ID on it. You look and you go, who's calling? Oh, sin's calling. I ain't answering that. I'm going to block that call. How many of y'all get calls all the time you don't want to get? Spam calls. My phone, for some reason, will identify a bunch of them. It'll say spam or possible spam or whatever. I don't ever answer those, of course. But then there's other times I'll block that number. So you block that number, half a day later, next day, whatever, call from the same people. Congratulations, your business is qualified for $100 Brazilian. It's like, just send us your social security number, your bank account, you know, whatever the scam is. New number, they call on a different number. But guess what? If I don't recognize the number as someone I need to talk to or want to talk to, I'm going to let y'all in on a secret. Unless the Holy Spirit himself tells me to answer a phone call, if you're not in my contacts, I'm not going to answer your phone call. You can leave a message, and I will listen to the message, even if I pick it up and it sounds like a fax machine. Y'all get those too? I get those all the time. I cut that off. Then what? I want to block that number. But they just call back on another number. So I have to constantly be diligent and vigilant watching whose call you answer. If someone called you, and every time they call you, the only reason they call you, it's just they're just going to dump garbage in your life, I would just suggest, honestly, don't answer the call. Don't answer it. If they're trying to lead you astray every time you talk to them, don't answer their call. That would be the devil. That would be your flesh. And it's as simple as that. Don't answer that call to do the wrong. Just refuse it. Just press the button. Say, no, I reject that. and then turn around instead and answer. And it said, I love the way it says, answer passionately God's call. Because I can assure you this, God is constantly calling us into his presence. Constant. When that sin rises up and tries to call you away from God, the reason that sin even tried to call you away is because sin knew that God was calling you too. And it's like it's this. I'm getting two calls at once. You ever do that? You ever be on a call and someone else calls? What's your phone do? Mine says you can end the call with the person you're fellowshipping with now and begin to fellowship with the other one. You could even combine the calls if you're savvy enough to do it. But if we're talking about sin calling and God calling, you can't combine those calls because God, remember this, God is light. So I want to continue to have fellowship with God. Well, don't answer sin's call then. Just hang up on it. Block the number. Keep blocking the number. Keep and then when God calls, you're like, that's God calling. Hey! You know? And with enthusiasm, answer God's call. Say, well, okay. Sounds simple. It is. We got to keep it that way. The enemy wants to make it complicated. God made it simple. He said, just don't do it. Don't answer sin's call. Recognize it for what it is. Most likely, if it's calling you very often, it's something that you're pretty familiar with. May even be a spirit attached to it. A familiar spirit. Well, you have authority and rule over that. You're a new creature. You say, well, how do I get that? How do I get past that? I don't even want that calling me. I don't want it calling me. How many of you know this? If you refuse to answer somebody's call long enough, guess what they'll do? They'll just quit calling. Actually, they'll call somebody else and then talk about you. Who cares? I don't care what people say behind my back. It don't affect me unless you come tell me about it. So don't. Don't do me the favor of telling me what people are saying. If somebody says something ugly to you about me, just pray. Pray for them. Pray for me. That's fine. That'll work. So in Romans 6, sin is a dethroned monarch. Don't let it have the opportunity to rule in your life. Goes on down, said, don't answer sin's call. 13, answer God's call instead. Look at verse 14. Mine says this in the Passion. It says, remember this. Sin will not conquer you, for God already has. Oh, I love that. If you're submitted to God, you don't have to submit to sin. You're not governed by the law, but you're governed by the reign of the grace of God. So what are we to do then? Verse 15 says this. What are we to do? Shall we sin to our heart's content, since there's no law to condemn us? You know, that's the second time in this chapter he said that. He said, shall we continue in sin? He answers, and God forbid. And he goes, no way, dude. That's the modern translation. No way. He goes, don't let it. You don't do that. Just because Christ has forgiven us, God loves us, and there's grace abounding toward us, should we just go ahead and sin? Since, I mean, after all, you can just ask God to forgive you. Really? You going to have fellowship like that? You really think you're going to have fellowship with God being a hypocrite like that? I don't think so. And where is the continual cleansing found? In the continual fellowship. You got to keep that in mind. If you want continual cleansing, you got to have continual fellowship. So he says this. He says, don't you realize, verse 16, that grace frees you to choose your own master? But choose carefully. For whoever you surrender yourself to, you become servant, bound to the one you choose to obey. If you choose to love sin, it will become your master. You don't even have to look very far to see that, do you? If you choose to love sin, can I say it this way? If you choose to prefer answering sin's call over God's call, that sin's going to become your master. And what will happen? If you choose to love sin, it will become your master, and it will own you, and it will reward you with death. Because the wages of sin is death, remember? But if you choose to love and obey God, he will lead you into perfect righteousness. Hallelujah. Think about Cain, Genesis chapter 4, Cain and Abel. If you haven't read it lately, go read it. We're almost out of time. But when Cain was upset because he brought leftovers before God, it wasn't just that it was fruit and vegetables that he brought. If he'd have brought the first fruit, the best of his fruit and vegetables, God would have smiled on it, patted him on his head, and blessed him. But he didn't bring that. The Bible says he brought some of the fruit of the soil. It says his brother Abel brought the firstborn of his flocks. Abel gave his best. Cain gave God leftovers. Why? Because Cain wanted to keep the best for himself. He preferred himself over God. Sin always takes advantage of that. Always. And so God shows up. Now Cain is downcast. He's angry. He's angry at his brother because his brother's getting favor from God and he's not. He's angry at God. His face is downcast. The Lord God shows up and talks to Cain. And he says, Cain, why is your face downcast and why are you angry? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? You go check it out. It's in Genesis 4. I'm quoting it word for word. He goes, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? And then he tells him this. Even now, sin is crouching at your door and desires to master you, but you must master it. He said that to the very, listen, this is the very first two siblings on earth. Adam and Eve had sinned, yes. They had gotten put out of the garden because of that sin, yes. And they have these two sons, Cain and Abel. And we know the story. Cain winds up killing his brother. He had it in his heart. He was so angry. He was so angry at his brother and angry at God that sin took advantage of that and separated him from fellowship with God and put it in his heart to do something that God would never put in your heart to do. And he, in his heart, decided to kill his brother. And God was forewarning him. God was giving him a chance to change. He was standing at a fork in the road in his life. If you go down this path and you continue to ignore the voice of God, if you continue to harbor unforgiveness in your heart, if you continue to be jealous and envious, it's going to take you down a path that will make you do things you never would do otherwise. But he said to Cain, he goes, but sin is crouching at your door. You know what that? It's not a physical door. It's a door of opportunity. You have the door to choose right or the door to choose wrong. And he said, sin is sitting at your crouching. That crouching. I get a picture of a lion or a tiger. You know, sin is crouching at your door, and it desires to have you. That's what he said. But you must master it. Cain had a choice, and he chose wrongly. And because of that, his brother Abel was killed. He killed his own brother. And he didn't use a gun to do it. Guns are not the problem. He probably used a rock. So we need to outlaw rocks. We need to do background checks on people getting a new rock. No, we need to do everything we can do to change the wickedness of humans' hearts. And in our society today, we need to deal with people that have mental issues and illness in a proper way. Sin is always going to be there, and you just need to say, no, thank you. And God is not going to stop knocking. In Revelation 3, Jesus wrote these words to the church. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if you will hear my voice, and you will open the door, I will enter in, and we will have fellowship one with the other. Today, I want to remind you, Jesus has done everything that is required for you to have fellowship with God, except for one thing. Make your choice for you. He left that up to us. God is love, and love loves you enough to let you choose. So choose wisely. If something's been mastering you today, I'll just say it bluntly. If something's been kicking your tail, rise up. Listen to the call of God and reject the call of the flesh. Repent. Turn away from that thing. Ask God to forgive you and cleanse you. He will. When I got free from one of the most controlling habits in my life, I told the Lord when he convicted me, I said, Lord, I don't know if I can quit that. I love that. I've loved it ever since I was young. But if you say so. And I gave it to him. I answered his call. And he did not fail me. He gave me the ability to put that behind me and walk away and reject it and go from loving it to literally despising it. So he can do that for me, do it for you.
We did have one more prayer request come in. Angela Jenkins asked if we would continue to pray for her son, Ricky.
Yep. Father, we do pray for Ricky, and we get in agreement and in faith with this mother. And God, we know that her prayers and our prayers are powerful and effective. And Lord God, we just pray that your Holy Spirit would so captivate Ricky's mind, his heart, his imagination, God, that he just feel himself irresistibly drawn to respond to you. We pray, Lord, that any circumstance that has arisen against Ricky, Lord God, that you would show yourself faithful in this circumstance. We entrust him to you, and we entrust the peace of his mom, Angela, to you. May your peace and grace surround her, give her wisdom in dealing with her son, with those around her. And we pray that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.
Now I had one more come to mind. I have a new friend. Her name is Tanya. And she's coming out of a 20-year addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had the chance to sit with her. And I told her just to hang on. Stay in there.
Yep.
Stay with it. And hang on.
Yep.
And she just... I told her that now you're learning, now that you're in Christ,
yep.
Now that you have become a member of the family,
yep.
You're learning how to be this new person.
Right.
And show yourself grace. Quit beating yourself up because that's from the enemy.
Right.
All the beating yourself up is just from the enemy, sister.
Right.
Give yourself grace,
mm-hmm.
And remind yourself you're trying and
right.
You're learning how to be this new person in Christ.
When the prodigal son came out of the pig pen, did the father say, boy, go clean up and I'll give you a hug?
Mm-mm.
No, he took old pig pen, threw his best robe right on him, put his ring on his dirty, grubby little pig pen finger, put shoes on his little pig pen feet, and said, this my son who was dead is now alive. And he said, let's celebrate. Underneath that robe and underneath that ring and on those shoes was still the same pig pen person on the outside. But that boy's heart had changed the moment he realized who he was and where he was and how he was in that pig pen and made a decision. I will return to the Father's house. That's repentance. That's all we ever have to do. If we will never excuse our sin and make excuses for it and try to justify it, but we'll just simply own up to it and stay in fellowship with the Lord like that, he will continually cleanse us. We have to get our minds renewed. Romans 12 is real clear about that. Don't be transformed by the culture around you, the ways of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Especially if you've been in a habit a long 20 years, you know, that's... You have to retrain your way of thinking, and it's not going to happen immediately. So God is for us. He's never against us. You can never get some dirt on you that God is not willing to take off. He will forgive you. He will constantly cleanse you. He just wants you coming to him.
You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, y'all. And y'all already know I'm going to say it again. This is the most powerful hour of my day. From all of us here in the studio, myself, Monica Lovell, Tina Dobbs, and Pastor Dwight Shepherd, y'all have a blessed day, and we will see you next time.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere.